Okay, so I'm back, everyone. If you all press star 6, that will mute you. And anywhere along the way, if you have a question, you could press star 6 again and unmute yourself, and then you could ask me a question. But at the end, I will be taking questions too. So you could also wait. But so we'll get started. My name is Dr. Marianne Teitelbaum. I'm giving these classes once every 3 weeks. I'm going to be giving them just on Monday nights because something came up with my own continuing education credits for my chiropractic license on the other nights. So I have to just teach these classes Monday nights. I'll be giving them from 7 to 8 p.m. We're going to do them roughly every 3 weeks. So the next class will be Monday, May 16th from 7 to 8 p.m. And I'm recording every class. And so you could always call the office to gain access to any of the classes that we've recorded. We have them numbered. So I'm pretty sure this class will be number 5, but there's 4 others that are stored. I hope someday to make CDs from them. That way I could hand them out to you guys. But anyway, tonight we're going to discuss vitamin D because there's a new test now to see what your levels of vitamin D are. And many of the patients are coming in telling me that their vitamin D is low. And so now their medical doctors are putting them on vitamin D. And it's been a really tough issue for my teacher, Dr. Mishra, who's been training me these last 12, 15 years. He's been very upset that everyone's taking the vitamin D because it's not that easy. We're going to discuss everything you need to know about vitamin D. And I took tonight's lecture. I'm going to divide it into 2 parts. The first part is going to be the Western research that's on vitamin D, how it's made, what it does, that type of thing. And then the second part will be from the Vedic perspective, taken directly from the Charak Sanhita, which is the textbook that everyone quotes Ayurveda from. This book was written by Charak about 5,000 years ago, so we'll see what they had to say on this whole issue, how it's formed and all that. So when we're done, you'll understand, I think, pretty much everything you need to know about vitamin D. Although what I can tell you from researching it for this class, that I don't think anyone really knows 100% about vitamin D because it's a fairly new discovery, and they're still not sure what the exact dose should be. There's a lot of controversy about that. They're not even sure if it's a vitamin. It's actually called a secosteroid, and so it has some influence on, you know, the hormonal system too. So but we're going to start at the very beginning with the research on vitamin D. So let's first identify what vitamin D is. It's a group of fat-soluble secosteroids, again they're called, the 2 major physiologically relevant forms of which are vitamin D2 and vitamin D3. Vitamin D2 is called ergocalciferol, and you don't need to know all these fancy names, but I'm just showing you the Western research on it. And vitamin D3 is called cholcalciferol. Vitamin D without a subscript, just plain vitamin D, refers to either vitamin D2 or D3 or both. Now, vitamin D3 is the one that we mainly talk about because this is produced in the skin of human beings after exposure to ultraviolet B light. And this ultraviolet B light, we can call it UVBs from the sun. And it occurs naturally in just a few foods, certain fish, but not at high doses. Now, the history of vitamin D is that there were 2 American researchers, Elmer McCollum and Marguerite Davis, in 1913, discovered a substance in cod liver oil, which later came to be called vitamin A. And a British doctor, Edward Mallinby, noticed dogs that were fed cod liver oil did not develop rickets and concluded that vitamin A could prevent this disease. But then in 1921, Elmer McCollum tested this cod liver oil in which the vitamin A had been destroyed, but it still cured the sick dogs. So they concluded that the factor in cod liver oil which cured the rickets was distinct from vitamin A, and he called it vitamin D because it was the 4th vitamin to be named, and that's how they named them, vitamin A, B, C, D. Now, unlike other vitamins, vitamin D can be synthesized by humans, and it is therefore not a vitamin. See, that's where the confusion lies. See, all these other vitamins, B complex we find in grains, beta carotene we get from the carrots and yellow squash and, you know, yellow and orange vegetables, iron, we know where we can get that in the diet from greens and beets and dates, raisins, figs. But this vitamin is manufactured by us from the sunlight. And that's where a lot of the confusion lies. So a lot of people are going to get their blood levels tested. They see it's low in just about everyone. And then they tell you to take it as if it's a vitamin. See, that's a big problem right there. So now we'll talk a little bit more what that problem is when you take it. But let's continue on with this understanding of vitamin D. Now, November 30th, 2010, just about 6 months ago, the Institute of Medicine provided a new dietary reference intake, meaning that they're still not sure what the amount of vitamin D should be in each of us. See, they're still wondering. Up until now, it's been about 400 units a day, they were saying the minimum daily requirement was. But now in November, they said people from 1 to 70 years of age, which is most of us, they bumped it up to 600 units a day. Then over 71 years of age, up to 800 units. And if you were pregnant or lactating, it should be 600 units. Now, I want you to realize something important here, that I've been in practice for 25 years now, and in the early years of my practice, everyone came in, they were taking roughly about 800 milligrams of calcium, and everyone still had this, we still have this epidemic of osteoporosis. Everyone's bones are so weak in our country. So the doctors then did the same thing they're doing now with the vitamin D. They upped the requirement to 1,000 milligrams of calcium, thinking that this would help overcome this epidemic of osteoporosis or osteopenia. And it didn't help. So a few more years went by. They bumped it up to 1,200 milligrams. Then they bumped it up to 1,500 milligrams. Now it's up to probably 2,000 or more. But it's not helping, see? Same with vitamin D. People have been taking this for many years before they even had this new test now for vitamin D. But it's not helping, see? Nothing's helping. If anything, it's making everything worse. Now, my teacher, who's a master pulse diagnostician, told me when he felt the pulse of someone who was taking calcium, he could tell that it wasn't getting into the bone. He said it's sitting outside in the channel. And I think in these last few classes, we were talking about some of these physical channels through which food flows and other things flow. So he was saying that, you know, in order for the calcium supplement to be absorbed, it can only help your bones if it's actually absorbing in the bones. But here he was saying it was stuck in the channel. And then after that, I heard a report that people who took calcium supplements found that they were having calcification of the arteries. See, so the calcium supplement was just sitting in that channel. We call them arteries nowadays. But it was stuck there. It never really got into the bones. So that's why it didn't seem to matter how high the dose of the calcium supplement was that they prescribed, 2,000 milligrams. It never helped because that form of calcium is lacking the pranic energy, that intelligence in nature. And in the last few classes, we talked a little bit about prana. Tonight, we'll talk a little bit more. But it's that vibration from the sun and the moon that hits the food when it's out in the fields. And when that food comes into our body and it's vibrating that pranic energy, our body understands that this is an intelligent nutrient and it does intelligent things in the body. But when someone makes these things in a lab, like calcium supplement or beta carotene supplement, the body will recognize that as a toxin and it never really will take it in. See, it just rejects it, so it ends up sitting there. So the other thing is that now they're saying, well, let me see, people have been taking 400 units. Let's bump it up to 600. What I found out in all my research is that the body makes what it needs. Each day it could be a little different depending on the time of year, the type of your skin, the sun exposure, how much stress you're under. Like someone just asked me, how much water should I drink each day? Some people say I drink 8 glasses. depends on the type of food you're eating, how much you sweat that day. So the same is true for this vitamin D. The body's just going to make what it needs, see. Now, when you're taking it orally, they're saying here that the dose should be around 600 units for most people between 1 to 70 years of age. Most of the patients that I'm seeing are coming in with 1,000 units, 2,000, 5,000, 8,000. And I see through the last few years they keep bumping it up because we're not getting anywhere. It's not doing anything. And now people are coming in at 50,000 units. So this is a tremendous load on the liver and kidneys, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So I think starting within these last few years, and I'm seeing it already, we're going to see great disturbances of the people taking this vitamin D orally, because that's not the way nature intended it. Nature intended it to come through the skin. So let's continue on then. Now, here's a little more background on the vitamin D. It's found in many dietary sources such as fish, eggs, cod liver oil. The sun contributes mainly to the daily production of vitamin D, and as little as 10 minutes of exposure is thought to be enough to prevent deficiencies. The term vitamin D refers to several different forms of this vitamin, like vitamin D2 and 3, and vitamin D3 is synthesized by humans in the skin when it is exposed to ultraviolet B or UVB rays from the sun. So, now, vitamin D prevents osteoporosis, that's like a weakening of the bones, because it plays a big role in the absorption of calcium from the intestines, depression, prostate cancer, breast cancer, even diabetes and obesity. Now, in the early years, they thought vitamin D helped mainly in the absorption of calcium for the bones, and that's why they added it to all the calcium supplements. Again, it didn't seem to make any difference. Everyone still has this epidemic of osteoporosis. But once they started researching vitamin D more, they saw that it actually takes about 1,000 different genes in your body, and it's like a switch, they say. It flips the switch on to activate the genes. But they're finding that if you take it orally, it flips the switch off. So they're saying that vitamin D can actually prevent autoimmune diseases and cancer. But if you take it orally, it actually causes vitamin D and cancer. See, this is the latest research in on it. They say that vitamin D is perhaps the single most underrated nutrient in the world of nutrition, see, because it has all these effects. Some of the other vitamins don't have such far-reaching effects as vitamin D does. So it's a very important vitamin, but it's very important that you understand that we do not take it orally as well. Now, again, vitamin D is produced by your skin in response to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from natural sunlight. The healing rays of natural sunlight that generate vitamin D in your skin cannot penetrate glass. So you don't generate vitamin D when you're sitting in your car or in your house with skylights, or if you have a sunny room, it's not going to help. You need to get outside without sunscreen on. And nowadays, the doctors have us so afraid of the sun that a lot of my patients are afraid to go out in the sun without sunscreen on. So keep that in mind, too. They say that it is nearly impossible to get adequate amounts of vitamin D from your diet. In a minute, we'll talk about the amounts of vitamin D in certain foods. Like in one food, it's only 10 units. See what I'm saying? They say that sunlight exposure is the only reliable way to generate vitamin D in your own body. They said a person would have to drink 10 tall glasses of vitamin D fortified milk each day just to get the minimum levels of vitamin D into their diet. The further you live from the equator, the longer exposure you need to the sun in order to generate vitamin D. So countries like Canada, England, and most of the United States are far from the equator. People with dark skin pigmentation may need 20 to 30 times as much exposure to sunlight as fair-skinned people to generate the same amount of vitamin D. That's why prostate cancer is epidemic among black men. It's a lot of it now they're showing it's coming from this vitamin D or sunlight deficiency. Sufficient levels of vitamin D are crucial for calcium absorption in your intestines. Without sufficient vitamin D, your body cannot absorb calcium, rendering calcium supplements useless. Even weak sunscreens, like if the SPF is 8, and most of them are way more than that, block your body's ability to generate vitamin D by 95%. This is how sunscreen products actually can cause disease by creating a critical vitamin deficiency in the body. It is impossible to generate too much vitamin D in your body from sunlight exposure. Your body will self-regulate and only generate what it needs. See, unlike taking the supplement, you're flooding your body now with all this vitamin D at much higher dose than what nature ever intended, and now it's going to make you extremely toxic. See, they say if it hurts to press firmly on your sternum, you may be suffering from chronic vitamin D deficiency right now. And vitamin D is activated in your body by your kidneys and liver before it can be used. So what they're saying there is that there's two parts to making vitamin D. The first part is the sun hits your skin, and it makes this vitamin D part one. But then it has to go through the liver and the kidneys in order to be activated into that vitamin D, the active form of vitamin D, we could call it. So it turns out that there are some antioxidants that can boost your body's ability to handle sunlight without burning. In our office, the antioxidant that we use is the amla berry, or wild amla. Some of you are on that. And also amalaki rosiana. It's a little bit of a weaker version of the amla. It's the amla berry, but wasn't found in, it's not as strong as the amla, the wild amla. There's other antioxidants, too, that are also important, like pomegranates and blueberries. All these berries have some antioxidants. We're going to talk more about these berries when we talk about the Vedic version of vitamin D. So let's talk about diseases and conditions caused by vitamin D deficiency. So number one is always osteoporosis and osteopenia caused by a lack of vitamin D, which greatly impairs calcium absorption. Sufficient vitamin D prevents prostate cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, depression, colon cancer, and schizophrenia. Rickets is the name of bone-wasting disease caused by vitamin D deficiency. We'll talk about that. The ancient texts talked a lot about rickets, too. Vitamin D deficiency may exacerbate type 2 diabetes and impair insulin production in the pancreas. Obesity impairs vitamin D utilization in the body, meaning that obese people need twice as much vitamin D. Vitamin D is used around the world to treat psoriasis. Vitamin D deficiency causes schizophrenia. Seasonal affective disorder is caused by a melatonin imbalance initiated by lack of exposure to the sun. See, this vibration from the sun, that's like we talked about prana, that's a vibration. So this vibration from the sun, when it hits our body, it forms something physical in the body. So here's two things. It forms that hormone called melatonin, which helps us sleep at night. We all know when we're out in the sun all day long, maybe we go to the beach or something, we sleep really well that night because we're making more melatonin, see? Just the same way the sun hits the skin, that vibration is forming a physical compound, the vitamin D, in the body. Chronic vitamin D deficiency is often misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia because its symptoms are so similar, muscle weakness, aches, and pains. Your risk of developing serious diseases like diabetes and cancer is reduced 50 to 80% through simple, sensible exposure to natural sunlight 2 to 3 times each week. And they say that really there's the high percentage of people, including doctors, med school students, African-American women, young girls, babies, most hospital patients are all deficient in vitamin D. It's stating statistics here. No sense in reading them all. Turns out that most of us are deficient. Most of my patients, again, when they get their vitamin D levels tested, they're deficient. Because we have not enough exposure to the sunlight, especially in the winter months, and in most Americans anyway, the liver and the colon are a bit too toxic, and they're not having enough intelligence to transfer the inactive form of vitamin D into the active form. So here are the dietary sources. Sometimes people ask me, well, how can I get more vitamin D in my diet, because we're used to getting the other vitamins in the diet. So most of us don't realize you're not going to get this one from the diet. You're going to just get it from sunlight. So, for example, some fishes have it, and a lot of my patients are vegetarian, so this is like a non-issue for them. But, for example, salmon has just one serving would supply like 360 units, you know, or catfish supplies 425, or tuna might supply 235 units. Like, they're small. Like, one whole egg provides 20 units. It's not a lot. And it turns out that cod liver oil provides the most, but we can't digest it. If we're taking this oil every day, it's going to irritate our liver. So that's not a good way to get it either. And then if you're a vegetarian, that's actually, you know, kind of out of the question for you anyway. So my teacher, who's from India, and he's been vegetarian his whole life and his whole ancestry and so many people in India, and he said, we survived without these fishes, and we still got enough vitamin D, see, just by being in the sun. So now, they say you can actually overdose by taking vitamin D supplements. They call this hypervitaminosis D. And they say that vitamin D overdose can cause the exact opposite, like too much calcium in the body. And the main symptom of vitamin D overdose are like anorexia, you're losing your appetite, nausea, lots of urination, weakness, nervousness, even like renal failure, you know. Some of my patients, not too many luckily, but a lot of the holistic doctors in our area who are MDs, when they decide to go into holistic medicine, they end up studying what are called nutraceuticals, taking all these different vitamins. And they always feel that if a little is good for you, then more must be better. So a lot of them will inject you with high doses of vitamins. I had one patient die of kidney failure when she did that. And I had another one, she almost died, but she realized it was from the vitamin injections. See, it's too much of a load on the kidneys to take all these synthetic vitamins or to inject them like that. And this vitamin D toxicity is treated by discontinuing the vitamin D supplementation. But they say the kidney damage may be irreversible, so you don't want to take it orally. I'm seeing all the patients through the years now, the amount of vitamin D is getting higher and higher to the point where lately the patients are coming in with 50,000 units. I'm afraid that it's going to damage their kidneys, actually. Now, exposure to sunlight for extended periods of time will not cause vitamin D toxicity, see? And they say within 20 minutes of exposure to the sun, the concentrations of vitamin D, that's enough. That's all you need. So you don't need to be out in the sun a long, long time. And they say that just being in the sun for, say, a half hour is enough for you to make an oral dose of vitamin D, about 10,000 units. See what I'm saying? So you can compare that and contrast that with trying to get it in all that fish. You'd have to torture your liver and kidneys taking all this fish oil to try to get that kind of a dose. So the health benefits then of vitamin D are for your bone health, even your immune system. And they think that that's why there's more incidence of flu in the wintertime, because people aren't getting outdoors. Also, there's some link between vitamin D and multiple sclerosis. So they haven't figured out exactly and in what way, but they think it has to do with vitamin D prevents autoimmune diseases. Also, tuberculosis and HIV and flu, even cardiovascular disease, but they're doing a lot of research now with cancer. It seems to be preventing so many types of cancer. Okay, now, so So that's the Western research on it so far. It's still somewhat a little sketchy, but overall I start to see patterns where they're saying, you know, if you take it orally, it can make you very sick, hurt your kidneys, damage them. If you just go out in the sun, your body makes what it needs, doesn't take long, and you're good to go. But we'll take it a few steps further when you see the Vedic perspective on this. So this is straight from the ancient text. We'll start at the very beginning. And they say, they always introduce Ayurveda. The word Ayu means life, and Veda is science. So therefore, this word altogether, Ayurveda, means the science of life. And the definition of life, according to Ayurveda, is the pranic flow of cosmic energy. This is the sign of life. As long as you have that cosmic energy floating through you, or we could call it pranic energy, then you're alive.
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. You could press *6 to mute yourself, and then when I'm done lecturing, everybody's going to unmute themselves by pressing *6 again, and then you can ask me questions. We got started.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sure. You only missed about 10 minutes, but you can access the class when I'm done. I'm recording it.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bonnie.
So the Veda is eternally truthful knowledge about anything and everything. It's the total understanding of how this cosmic or pranic energy is received and how it circulates in the body. Now, you'll recall in my last classes, we talked about this pranic energy has three components. One from the moon is called soma. It's a cooling kind of lunar energy. One from the sun called agni, which is like a fiery energy that transforms things in the body. Like if you take food in, this agni or flame or fire transforms your food so you can absorb it. See, take it from that raw form into something you can absorb. And then there's the third component of prana, which is called marut, and this is that circulating energy. It's the movement of the soma and agni. So Ayurveda, they say, is all about life, what is good for life, and they look at everything, the food, the bedtime, detoxification. So we'll talk about this cosmic energy. It has a relationship also to vitamin D production in the body. Now, they say that the knowledge of Ayurveda is true for all times, but nowadays, somebody could research something like hormone replacement therapy or vitamin D, and then 10, 20 years from now, they might say, oh, we know what, we made a mistake on that one. You know, like hormone replacement therapy came out and everyone took it, and then they realized 20 years later that it was causing a lot of cancer and heart disease. So this isn't that eternal type of knowledge that we're talking about, like the Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge is such that if they say that the sun rises in the east, the sun will always be rising in the east and setting in the west, something that will always be true forever. They say be aware of all the facts, the side effects, what other alternatives you have other than just popping a vitamin D supplement. It's an easy way to do it, but it's not going to work. So in Ayurveda, they had an understanding. They had the word for rickets. It was Sukandi, S-U-K-A-N-D-I. This was mentioned in all the Ayurvedic classics. And they also talked about night blindness, which comes about from a vitamin A and a vitamin D deficiency. Vitamin D is a physical material, but the raw material is vibrational. It has a direct relationship with that ultraviolet B or UVB. It goes to the cellular system, then to the liver, the kidneys, and the colon, supports it, and then it becomes the active form of vitamin D. So the raw material of this is the UVB, ultraviolet rays from the sun. You can get it also in cod liver oil. The animals get it from nature too. See, the sun's hitting the grass, and they supply it to you. So this vitamin D has to go through many steps, the ancient text said. When all those molecules of the cellular system, the intelligence of the liver, kidneys, even the friendly bacteria, all these things have to be set in place. They have to be intelligent in order to transfer this vitamin D into the active form. But nowadays, everyone's friendly bacteria, we talked about that in our last class, Every body's friendly bacteria are corrupted from antibiotics, steroids, birth control pills, immunizations. The liver of most Americans is corrupted from too many toxins going through it over a lifetime. No one ever teaches us how to take good care of the liver, how to clean it out. Same for the kidneys. The liver is the main filter of the body. The kidneys are a more secondary filter, but we're finding that most Americans' liver is pretty toxic nowadays, and so are the kidneys. So as a result, then, these are the organs that we're depending on us taking that raw vitamin D and turning it into the active form, the liver, kidneys, the bowel, and they're not working right in most Americans. So that's why we're having a hard time converting and making enough vitamin D for ourselves. For instance, I had a patient who told me he worked out in his yard all summer, and when he got his vitamin D levels tested, it was still low, see? So I didn't right away just tell him to take vitamin D, but then I worked more on his liver, kidneys.
Welcome.
Got his gut more intelligent. So, in the ancient texts, they said the source of vitamin D, the top source, was the sun's rays, which we now know is true. It's the best source. And all the ancient texts said the sun has properties for emotional, physical, spiritual health. You know you feel better just when you're getting out in the sunlight. Sometimes by the end of the winter, in March or so, you just feel like you can't take it anymore. You just want to get out in the sun. And that first day in the sun, you feel so much better. So they said that, again, that the foods that had vitamin D would be cod liver oil. That's the main one. And all foods rich in vitamin D, like animal fat, lard, a lot of vegetarians survived without these, without taking these things. So you don't have to worry that you're not taking cod liver oil or whatever, and you couldn't digest it anyway. But in ancient times, people got their vitamin D from the sun by keeping the liver, skin, kidney, and colon intelligent. Now, if cows are roaming in the forest and the grasses are not genetically modified, and both the cows and the grass are exposed to the sun, you'll have even more vitamin D precursors. See, nowadays, the cows are not roaming so much. They're genetically modifying a lot of the seeds, so it makes it even more difficult then to get the vitamin D just from the dairy. But my teacher's thinking that we'd have more vitamin D from dairy if it were like in ancient times before we started using pesticides and genetically modifying everything. So this UVB from the sun penetrates the upper layers of the skin, and the melanin, the pigment in the skin, converts this type of vitamin D to vitamin D3. And again, we know all that from modern research now. If you add vitamin D to milk, it's actually not good. It's the same thing. It's a synthetic vitamin D. That's not the best way to get it either. Plus, like we just discussed, you'd have to drink 10 glasses of milk a day to get enough of that, and who can digest that? Now, this is something that's not seen anywhere in the Western research, just in the ancient texts. The role of the skin in receiving the ultraviolet, the UVBs. Now, on top of our head, the pranic energy comes in from the top of the head. The ancient doctor said that up there, there's something called Brahmarandra, B-H-R-A-M-A. Ramdra, R-A-M-D-R-A. And when prana comes in, this main point in the top of the head where the baby's soft spot is, there's a filter up there, and it's filtering that pranic energy through, see? So this is a vibrational filter. It's not visible, but it filters the active vibration of the prana, the seed vibration. It's like a filtering activity, kind of like a cap on the head. Now, the skin has a similar thing, but it has a different name. The ancient texts describe three different types of hair on the body. The first type is kesh. This is K-E-S-H. It's the hair on your head. The second type is loma, and we're going to be talking a lot about this. This is the hair found in all the whole body, the hair of the body. The third type was the pubic hair, and this is spelled samashru, S-A-M-A-S-R-U. But we're going to discuss this, the hair on the body. Now, Every follicle of the body's hair has a tiny vibrational filter there. It filters the pranic energy as it's coming from the environment, see? Just like on the top of your head where the pranic energy is coming through the Brahmarandra, we have what's called the Lomarandra, the Lomarandra. So again, the loam is the hair of the body. So the hair follicle has this vibrational filter that receives the soma, agni, and marut. So those three parts of the pranic energy. Again, the soma is from the moonlight, the agni is from the sunlight, and the marut is just that movement of the two. Now, the health of the Lomarandra is important. If it's not healthy, then the energy of the ultraviolet light from the sun gets corrupted from the very get-go, see? So this Lomarandra has to be healthy. So if you think about that for a minute, what would disturb that? Well, think of all the things we put on our skin, all kinds of lotions and perfume and chemicals and underarm deodorants, and bad soap.
Harriet, can I ask, how do you spell the loam? Is it Loma?
It's probably spelled L-O-M-A, Loma.
Okay.
But they would pronounce it loam. They always drop the A at the end, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay,
so these Rondras are the communicating factor between the cosmic world and the inner world. See, and that's exactly what happens when you're making vitamin D. You have this vibration from the outer world turning into a physical thing inside the body. And this happens through every hair on the body. So this Lomarandra filter helps communicate with the cosmic energy. So these ultraviolet rays travel from the skin and then go to the liver and the kidneys. Even the bowel plays a role. If the Lomarandra is healthy, it receives just the right amount of the ultraviolet rays and not corrupting the energy based on the time of day, the demand of the body, like we were talking about, just like the Brahmarandra does in the head. It's bringing in cosmic energy as we need it. Now, this is called Dehagni, D-E-H-A-G-N-I. This is the cellular thermogenic energy. This Dehagni takes over this specific Agni. See, this is Agni means like a transformative, like a fire, like a flame. This transformative flame, or Dehagni, it's, again, it's the cellular Agni. Every cell in the body has like an Agni, like your stomach, we say, has one Agni, you know, one flame to convert the food into the nutrients. But every cell in your body has an Agni, too. They call it Dehagni. And it's responsible for all the transformation within the cellular system, whether it's vibrational or physical transformation. So this specific Agni reaches to the liver, where everything is ultimately done in terms of processing. The specific Agni energy being received by that Lomarandra filter or channel in the skin immediately goes deep, taken over by the cellular Agni, and that transformation reaches the liver. Whether vibrational or physical energy, it goes through the liver. Now, the liver itself has five Agnis. See how we're talking about every cell has an Agni, the stomach has an Agni, but the liver has five. And we had talked about that, too, in one of the classes. And the reason it has five Agnis, or we could say burners, because in nature there are five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, like that. So the liver has to extract those five elements from the food that you're eating. See? So these are, they say that the fuel is, we call it pitta in Ayurveda. And I think you might remember me mentioning the sub-doshas of vata, pitta, kapha in one of the classes. Each one of those has five we call them doshas, or subsections. But Ranjika pitta is the one that gives, it's related to the liver. It gives color and rhythm and intelligence to the blood. That's what the liver does. So, now, One burner is especially designated in the liver to transform this energy from the skin. So this Lom Rudra is being transformed by this Agni in the liver. Then a specific designated flame to process the solar energy, see. So, again, there's five burners in the liver, and they process this etheric energy in the food, the space element in the food, the air element, the fire, water, and earth element. And the Lom Rudra receives specific cosmic energy, or we call them UVBs nowadays, and they transfer it to the cellular system via the Dayagni of the cell. And this Dayagni transforms it, and it goes to the liver. And the liver has five Agnis. And among these five Agnis is one specifically designated to convert the ultraviolet rays to your active form of vitamin D. I'm repeating the same thing over and over a few times so you can get it. Then after the liver transforms it, it goes to the kidneys. See, the kidney isn't just about cleaning the blood. It also supports the transformation of vitamin D to use for whatever, the bones or whatever. So that's the Ayurvedic perspective on how vitamin D. Now, they say then, causes of vitamin D deficiency. First, we have to have intelligent skin. We have to pay attention to our skin. So the ancient doctors recommended massaging the skin with oil every day. They say don't put anything on your skin unless you would eat it, because whatever you put on your skin goes to the same place as if you took it orally, only quicker. So when people see me, I instruct them in rubbing the body with all kinds of oil, almond oil in the winter, coconut oil in the summer. We have you avoiding all kinds of chemical shampoos. We have a whole line. My teacher makes all kinds of shampoos, even toothpaste, mouthwash. We have all kinds of lotions and even conditioners, even for pets. But we have all kinds of skin products, facial creams, that don't have one chemical in them. It's very hard to do. So that way we could take good care of our skin without putting any kind of harsh chemicals on it. We have to keep the liver intelligent. Most of you who are my patients know how much attention we pay to the liver, cooling it down, cleaning it, giving it good food, feeding it with turmeric, a little bit of turmeric in the diet every day. Turmeric supports the liver and its functions. We teach you how to have the stewed apple first thing in the morning, which takes the toxic load off the liver. We show you how to do correct Vedic cleansing, which isn't too harsh. Nowadays, a lot of the cleanses, like milk thistle, and they're much too harsh for the liver. We teach you how to keep the kidneys intelligent, keep the colon intelligent. This is my first step in my practice when I get a new patient, just fixing all the different enzyme system, the friendly bacteria in the colon. This friendly bacteria, they say it creates a yoga or a union between the outside of the body and the inside of the body, see? And all these things get absorbed, you know, the nutrients that we take in because of the friendly bacteria. So even with vitamin D, the friendly bacteria have to be intelligent enough to ingest and assimilate it into the body. Nowadays, the skin, liver, kidneys, friendly bacteria are in trouble with everyone. It's rare that I get a new patient in who has the liver in good shape or the friendly bacteria in good shape, whatever. Now, either extreme, overexposure to the sun or underexposure, is not good. And in the ancient texts, they said that the early morning rising sun is the best. If you could get out in the early morning, go for a walk, or maybe do your exercising outside as the sun is rising, because that angle of the sun is not going to burn your skin, and you get good rays hitting the skin at that hour. So, again, the ancient text said the sun played a major role in providing this ultraviolet radiation. Based on your skin color, you might have to be careful if your skin's very fair. They say if you haven't been going out in the sun enough, you have to be careful when you first start going out. You could burn easily. But then your skin actually gets used to the sun the more you go out in it. all these sunscreens are not so good. They block this UVB. They have artificial ingredients in them. They screen the source of the vitamin D out. They say the morning rising sun and the late afternoon before sunset, that's also good too. Now, you don't want to go out in the sun when your liver is overheated, like if you're delaying a meal or your stomach's empty, or if you've been eating a lot of hot, spicy food or drinking alcohol. It makes the skin more sun-sensitive, see? Keep rehydrating yourself well. Try not to have onions and garlic. They increase this, the heat in the liver and the blood, which could upset the skin. And, again, they mentioned that wild amla, sweet, juicy fruits, and the diet that we instruct you guys to follow, it's a more alkaline diet, and taking herbs, which will keep alkalinity in the body. Now, my teacher's father, his name was Kameshwar Mishra. He was a great Ayurvedic physician. He cured a lot of children from rickets. My teacher sat with his father for 7 years as they took on patients. And my teacher had gone through some of his notes when he was with him, and he had developed a way to cure rickets, which I'm going to read you. I'm going to quickly read his. This was his secret formula, but my teacher actually shared it with us, and I'll tell you why at the end. But what he did, he used an herb called bringraj, which is great for the skin and the liver, wild amla. Again, we were just talking about the amla berry to support the skin, to absorb more ultraviolet rays. Pomegranate enhances the body's own sun protection factor to help you soak up more of the ultraviolet rays. Just a second. Let me see here. Where did that go? Okay. So here's what he did. His father's advice to the rickets patients. He had a special formula where he took pure coconut oil, not toasted where it has that coconut-type smell. He squeezed it directly from the coconut. He put it in a glass jar with these herbs, bringraj to support the liver and the hair follicles, bhumi amla to support the liver, aloe powder. It was sun-dried. They say if you dry the herbs in the sun, they'll soak up some of the UVBs too and impart it to you. There's the amla berry again, Indian sarsaparilla, mangista. There's a special herb called flame of forest, which helps the skin. The flowers of Harsingar, and then another special herb for the bones called Asti Shrinkala, sensitive plant, 10 clove leaves. He put everything in a liter of coconut oil, and he exposed it to the sun in a glass jar for 21 days, filtered it out, and he added a little cod liver oil, and he applied it to the skin of his patients. And then they were cured of their rickets. So look how smart he was to know to soak this in the sun and all that. The reason I'm mentioning this, when we heard that formula, he told us about this formula about a year ago. We were begging him to make that for our patients, and he said it was very hard to do. But today I'm here to tell you that he did it, and just last week I got the remedy in, and he's calling it vitamin D strong and mild formula. We have a mild formula for babies or children or someone who's very sick, but the regular or strong formula I'm going to be using, we just got it in, we just unpacked it, and I'm thinking that I'm going to put most of my patients on this because I see so many patients with autoimmune diseases, cancer, all kinds of bone problems, skin, everything, psoriasis. So, but I want you to know that we finally got it. And with this, you could rub as much as you want on. We're only going to use a little, like a little fingerful, once a day. We're going to rub it in our wrist because there's very thin skin there. And the wrist bends back and forth a lot through the course of a day, and it'll absorb. You could basically take this and rub it all over. You're not going to overdose in it. But this has those herbs in it that I just mentioned to support the liver and the kidneys to help your body convert the inactive form of vitamin D into the active form. See, nowadays we need some help because the liver and kidneys are a little corrupted. This is the way we should take in the vitamin D, but it's not vitamin D. Your body's going to make it yourself. See, it'll have that cosmic vibration in it. But then you'll have to get out in the sun about 15 minutes a day. So now if everyone wants to unmute themselves by pressing star 6, I could take your questions now for a few minutes.
Marianne?
Uh-huh.
You told me to take that cream, and I was trying to call you to find out which one to get, so I ordered the not very strong one. Should I trade it?
Okay. You could start out with the mild one, and then after you're finished that, I think you could probably go to maybe the stronger one. We'll see, especially now the sun will be out, it's getting warmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I go out every day and walk, so.
Yeah. Plus, now your bowel's so much more intelligent, and you've done some of that work, so.
Okay.
Marianne,
and, does it have cod liver oil in it?
It has it, but it's going to be on your skin. You're not ingesting it.
Okay.
Marianne, could I ask you something? When you go out in the sun, is it okay just to get the sun on your face if your sleeves, if your arms are covered up and you're...
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
That's enough. Like
that's
if I
about
would...
the best we can do in the winter months, but the more exposure, the better. So now that
the more,
it's going to be warmer, the more skin contact you have, the better it's going to be.
And a coconut oil, I do the almond oil on my scalp like once a week. I massage it in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do the coconut oil on there too during
the
summer?
In the summer months, yeah, you could use coconut oil because it's cooling, yeah.
Instead of the almond oil, okay.
Yeah. I didn't mention, you could use almond oil all year round, doesn't matter, but...
That's okay.
Yeah. In some of my studies when I was researching for this class, I was reading that actually when the sun hits anything, it could make a little vitamin D. Like they say that mushrooms, if you put them out in the sun, they'll become a source of vitamin D. See what I'm saying? I'm not
sure.
Saying to eat mushrooms. It's not something they recommend in Ayurveda. But they said that if you're standing in water, like in the ocean, and the sunlight's hitting the water, or let's say you rub oil on your skin and you sit out in the sun with that, it's going to also create some more vitamin D, you know? So
put the oil on first.
You could, but I'm thinking that every day we're doing these oil massages. I think there's always some oil in our pores, and I think that's also going to enhance the reception of the ultraviolet rays and all that. So,
Marianne, I put the oil on at night while I'm watching TV, and then I just go to sleep with it on.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Marianne, just getting the sun on your face in the wintertime, that's sufficient?
No, it probably isn't sufficient.
So what do we do?
Well, you're going to probably dip a little low in the winter, but the answer isn't to take vitamin D either. So you just keep eating healthy, supporting your, you know, keeping your liver good, your bowel good, and get out in the sun maybe a little bit every day. So, and you might dip a little low, but it's not going to be life-threatening or anything. And then you keep using your vitamin D cream. And so this is going to have some vitamin D in it from the cod liver oil. There's also that coconut oil in there and some beeswax, some other sources of vitamin D, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But I wouldn't worry about the winter months. Any other questions?
Hi, it's Judy. For cooking, an oil to use for cooking, it's good to make the ghee homemade, right, rather than from the jar?
Either way is fine.
And one other question, is coconut oil good for cooking as an oil?
No, because we can't digest it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we recommend rubbing it on the skin. Then those nutrients will go directly in the blood and you don't have to worry about digesting them. That's why a lot of people are taking vitamin D. That's a fat-soluble vitamin. You know, we can't digest it. A lot of people are taking fish oil and flax oil. We can't digest these things. They're polluting our fat tissue. They're upsetting the gallbladder.
Brother.
See, so, but we look at these things under a microscope and we see, oh, they have the omega-3s. But we don't take into consideration, can this thing be digested and assimilated? Again, everything we swallow, the liver has to process it. So we don't want to torture our liver. That's the word my teacher always uses. He has a saying where he says, everyone in America is taking fish oil, but they fail to realize one important thing, that we can't digest it. See? In other words, it's coming in one end of the channel, coming out the other end, but along the way it's torturing the liver. See?
Oh, I'm glad you told me that.
That's why the ancient doctor said, take the oils, rub them all over the body.
Okay.
It'll absorb directly from the skin into the bloodstream, and you're going to bypass the liver. You don't have to swallow it. Mm-hmm. See, someone wrote a book about coconut oil in America.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at it under a microscope, and he saw nice fats in there. And he identified the fats that he found. And he said that everyone should have coconut oil in the diet. But then he doesn't realize that it's too heavy. It's very cold. Rub coconut oil on your skin. You'll feel how cold it is. That's why we recommend it more in the summer months. Very cooling, but we can't digest it. At the opposite end of that spectrum is flax oil. When you take that into the body, it forms a lot of heat, makes the liver very hot. And look, the liver already has 5 digestive fires. It overheats easily. So, but the flax oil has those omega-3s too. They all have nice fats in them, but whether or not we can digest it, see?
Oh, that's why you told me to stay away from the flaxseed. I got you.
Yeah, yeah. When you came in, your liver was really hot. Most Americans,
exactly.
I see, the liver is very hot. Yeah.
Marianne, anything that you rub on the skin then bypasses the liver?
Yeah. Like, in other words, if they say take coconut oil, well, you know, you have to digest it. If you swallow it, it has to
be
processed through the liver. But if you rub it on the skin, it goes right in the blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering, for someone that has a depression problem and has to take some medicine like Sammy, what would you recommend for them? I mean, besides, I know they have to get their health together, but, you know, emotionally or a chemical problem, I don't know what their problem is to get the depression, but, and they find some relief from it, what would you say would be better to do? Because that probably messes up the liver as well.
With Sammy?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
We do what we always do here. We look at the whole body. That's why it's called holistic.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last class, we talked about the friendly bacteria. The gut is the brain of the brain. And the friendly bacteria are missing, it's going to throw off your neurotransmitters. Some of these neurotransmitters, like serotonin, 85% of that is produced in the gut. So you have to make sure the gut is intelligent and the friendly bacteria are there. Then you have to make sure you're eating a diet that is nourishing, you know. Then you have to look at everything, see?
Yeah.
You have to look at the liver. Then we have some Ayurvedic herbs that are antidepressants. But see, if you just give one thing, like this vitamin D sounds so wonderful, you might be tempted to think, well, I'm just going to do this vitamin D thing and then I'll be great. You still have to have a good diet. You still have to go to bed early, you know.
That's right, yeah.
See, so you still have to be able to digest and assimilate your nutrients and at the level of the gut. You still have to clean the liver. So there isn't any one thing that will fix everything and we can ignore everything else.
Right.
There isn't one magic bullet. But these are all pieces of a puzzle. So maybe this vitamin D supplement, if they're getting out in the sunlight, you know, might help them.
Right, okay.
If they're making more vitamin D, that would be an added thing. They're all little pieces to the puzzle.
Right,
you don't want to just pick one thing and think that's the magic cure.
Yeah, right.
Marianne, my vitamin D was so low when I had a hormone panel done, and my doctor said, you know, I am going to put you on. I yesed him to death, and of course, I didn't go on any of those
That's
supplements.
The best thing.
You know,
that's the better thing. Just say okay, take the.
Yeah, I said okay,
right.
But because I figured I'll get it from you, and I'll go
right.
from there.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not better. You don't want to just stand there and argue with your doctor, and they don't have the time anyway. And it takes you time to learn all this, so they're not going to learn it in 5 minutes of you telling him, you know, something. So it's better just to kind of agree to do that, and they wouldn't know the difference. Meanwhile, it's good that they have that test so that we can make sure what we're doing is increasing
exactly
up to normal levels. So the
That's
test
what
is
I figured.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Marianne, can I ask you something? First of all, the conference, the Ayurvedic conference, was wonderful on the 16th.
Oh. I know.
That was just wonderful. Thank you for inviting everybody. I wanted Dr. Mishra made something on the ghee that was a little spicier, but I loved it. I didn't know what it was. It was like It was a little spicy, but delicious.
He probably put a little bit of cayenne pepper in.
Or like, isn't there a Mum's Marcella that's a little spicy?
No, I don't think it was that. He probably added some cayenne pepper to something.
Is that okay to do?
No, not for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't do that often, but.
Because I'm so, I used to love really spicy food. When I tasted it, I said, oh, maybe this is okay.
No, no.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
But that was wonderful, by the way. And all these classes are fabulous.
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm doing it because even my best patients coming in who have been coming for years, every week I see this one's taking fish oil, this one's taking vitamin D. This,
mm-hmm.
They get sucked in by their doctors because
mm-hmm.
the history of medicine is that whatever a doctor said, the words were like gold. You know, you just
mm-hmm.
listen to them. So this is like a new phenomenon now where we have to think twice about it and think, well, maybe I won't get 61 immunizations for my three-year-old. Maybe I won't take Lipitor. Maybe I'll figure out why the cholesterol went high, or maybe I won't take vitamin D. So I think it's a bit of a transition that we're in now where we're thinking that we have to be careful that in this time period, sometimes doctors are giving advice that could harm us. So we have to educate ourselves now how to navigate the medical system because they have good tests, they have good operations, they have some good things, but you have to know how to use that system correctly.
Mm.
But when it comes to the field of nutrition and supplementation and detoxification, that either they don't do anything like detoxification or the little bit that they delve into nutrition like this whole vitamin D issue, they're making big mistakes. And the mistakes can be very harmful, like this vitamin D issue. My teacher is so upset about this, my teacher, Dr. Mishra from India. He's been talking about this for the last 5 years, and that's why he finally decided to, as hard as it was, to come out with this vitamin D supplement for all you guys. And we're both taking it, too, so that we're not going to harm ourselves by that synthetic, you know, the vitamin D that everybody else is taking. But
well, that's
it's good
wonderful.
For you guys to get this knowledge, see. Then you'll know when someone tells you, oh, you know, you should take fish oil, or, oh, you know, you're getting your flu shot this year. You'll know when you're sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner, whatever it is,
yeah,
why you're not going to be doing
that. I'm throwing my fish oil out today.
Yeah. See? And Pat, you've been coming for years, see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to ask you next, and you answered it.
Yeah, it's been hard for me seeing the patients who are coming a long time and make all these mistakes, and I can't teach you every single thing when you're in for the 15, 20 minutes you're in, you know.
Yeah.
So
Marianne, you mentioned pomegranates, and I love them. Of course, they're out of season now. Do you make something
with
that?
It seems like every season there's some kind of berry
fruit.
Or,
yeah.
That's coming. Like now rhubarb's going to come in, and then strawberries and blueberries will be in, and just whatever's around that you can get. There's enough fruits out there. You don't have to worry that just because you can't get pomegranates, you know. There's cherries, you know. So,
Marianne, can you recommend any Ayurvedic recipe books?
I'm actually halfway done one myself right now. There's all kinds of cookbooks out on the market. Most of them are written by people from India. So it might lead you to believe that you have to eat Indian food in order to be healthy,
yes.
But it's not true.
I tried that. Yes, I tried that, and you're
them.
Right.
A lot of them say vatas should eat this, pitas should eat that. That's also not a good way to look at it. So you could get it just for the recipes, but you might get tired of just Indian food all the time. I know how Americans are, you know.
Yes.
So that's why my cookbook is going to have things like turkey burgers and, chicken risotto and... For those who aren't vegetarian, and for those who are, we need more variety than just dal, rice, and vegetables every day. Otherwise, you're going to get really bored with that.
Exactly. Mm. I feel like I don't have a lot of variety right now.
Yeah.
And since I'm very new to this.
Yeah.
So I did go to the library, and I tried to get some Ayurvedic recipe books, but you're right. It was mostly Indian, and most of it I didn't understand. And they eat a lot of mushrooms.
Right.
A lot of dishes had mushrooms.
And eggplant, tomatoes.
Yes,
peppers, potatoes.
Chili, all that hot stuff, yes.
Garlic,
onions.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what you have to do is just make food that you like within these guidelines, you know.
When will your book be out?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We're right in the middle of it now. I'm doing 10 other things, too. And then Dr. Nick wants me to help him teach a class on the liver in May. And then we just got ready for this Ayurvedic conference and made a video. And so it's a lot of work. Okay, so are there any, one last question I'll take, and then we better get going.
Okay.
Okay, for sour fruits, does that mean oranges and clementines to avoid sour fruits?
It depends on your liver. If it's very hot in the early weeks, we tell you to avoid too many sour fruits. Yeah, like citrus.
Okay.
But then as you get better, you could have like sweet, juicy oranges, you know. You could have lime, fresh squeezed lime, because you need some vitamin C in the diet. But lime turns alkaline right away in the system. Lemon, you could have, it turns alkaline a little slower. So you could have some, but we mean favor the sweet, juicy fruits until the liver cools down. Because that's
the oranges are okay, Marianne.
Yeah, again, it depends on you. If you have too much of this heat, or pitta, we call it in Ayurveda, you don't want to have too many oranges.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone for listening. This class will
thank
be recorded.
Thank
and
you.
I'll see you back here 3 weeks.
Thank you so much, Marianne.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.